settling in with your experience. Perhaps this sense of abiding, dwelling, being with the body as a body, receiving. Receiving the breath, however it is showing up, letting the breath reveal itself. Perhaps attending to the breath in a particular area of the body, or maybe a broader sense of the breath through the body. Simple awareness, receiving the breath, in our practice, we are cultivating, strengthening this meeting of awareness with experience. How awareness is with experience. Staying with the breath. It's not the goal of our practice. It is a support, using the breath to cultivate this awareness. It's a support for this stabilizing the attention, stabilizing the awareness. As we sit and observe our breath, explore the experience, it often happens that there are other experiences that are strong, maybe a sense of being pulled away from the breath, because something else is happening. And we don't have to try to hold on to the breath, because mindfulness can meet any experience. And it's useful to begin to cultivate that capacity of awareness to meet the full range of our human experience. Learning to open to be aware of, connect with, abide with all experience. With interest, kindness, receptivity, non-reactivity, allowing what's here to be here. A particular area of experience that helpful, it's helpful to cultivate this capacity to be present with. Is being aware of mind states, emotions, moods, mind states is a broader term than we might normally think of as emotion. So it includes what we call emotions, both the beautiful emotions and the reactive emotions. Includes anger, fear, irritation, frustration, wanting, desire. Also includes joy, happiness, love, compassion. Mind states also includes a whole host of things that happen in our minds that are not what we would necessarily think of as emotion. Like boredom, sleepiness, restlessness, confusion, spaciness, and also concentration, peace, ease, mindfulness, also a mind state. Getting familiar with mind states, being aware of mind states. Often the first kind of mind states we become familiar with are the what we call emotion, the more obvious experiences that we're familiar with, those emotional tones. Sometimes those emotions are very clear. Certain emotions have a very, almost a distinct flavor to them, easy to recognize. Other emotions have a more diffuse quality to them. It's almost like we can't really pin it down and say where it is or what it is. Like anxiety can have that kind of quality, kind of a diffuse spreading quality. Boredom have that quality. Some of the beautiful mind states also, happiness, also kind of that diffuse quality. So sometimes in exploring mind states, it's easy to recognize what the mood or emotion is. And sometimes it may not be quite so obvious. If you're newer to the practice, this exploration around mind states can be really useful when there is some kind of obvious emotion. And there are some supportive ways to engage or meet that experience. One teacher, Michelle McDonald, came up with an acronym for tools, we could say, that support working with emotions or mind states. And the acronym is RAIN, R-A-I-N. Over the years, I've explored different words that might go with those letters. And so the words that I use may not be exactly the ones that Michelle used. But the R, really useful to recognize that there is an emotion happening, and if possible, what it is. Sometimes we don't know what it is, we just know there's something happening. Might just be recognizing reactivity. But sometimes it's, frustration is happening. So recognizing the mind state. The A, allowing that exploration of opening to what's here without judgment. That curiosity of this is the human experience. Can it be allowed? So recognize it and incline towards allowing. It's okay. It's okay that this is here in the meditation. This is a human experience. And the mindfulness can support a holding of it. So recognize and allow. The I in rain, interest, curiosity about the experience of that emotion or mind state. How does it affect the body? For this mind state to be happening. How does it affect the quality in the mind? Does it feel like the mind just pulling away or leaning in? An exploration of the body in connection with emotions. So helpful. And while we might think that this curiosity, we should be curious too about all of those thoughts that are connected with the emotion, sometimes many thoughts connected with an emotion. The curiosity around thoughts is more that there are thoughts and less that all what the content of those thoughts is. So here's an emotion and there's lots of thinking going on with it. That can be a recognition of the experience in the moment. It's useful in investigating, being interested in the effect that the emotion has on us. To see if there can be not a shutting down of the thoughts, but a stepping back from engagement with the content of those thoughts. Attending to the bodily experience of the emotion is a helpful way to step back from the content of the thoughts. That's what's happening in the moment. Physical sensations associated with the emotion. We can attend to that, receive that without shutting down or pushing away the thought. Kind of like just turning the head and looking the other direction. So recognize an emotion, a mind state. Explore the possibility of allowing. Interested in the experience. How does it affect the body? And the N of rain. This one, I feel like, is a support. Can be a support for allowing us to explore or engage with all the others. Kind of a remembering or a kind of reminding ourselves that it's natural to have emotions as a human being. It's nature. This can support another N, non-identification with the emotion. So all of these tools, recognize, allow, interested, those three will support the understanding that emotions are nature, natural phenomenon. And we can also, I found it a useful kind of reminder almost, little maybe Dharma coach when there's an emotion happening. Just to kind of gently remind myself, this is nature. This is a human experience, this emotion. And I find sometimes that can allow, create more the conditions for the allowing and the interest to flourish. So settling in, being with your experience. At times, with the breath. At times, an emotion or mood may become obvious or predominant, and if the attention is, if it feels like there's any kind of conflict, like it's hard to stay with the breath because something else is happening, open to that, that emotion, that sound, that body sensation. The breath can be a kind of a default, a place to land. But we don't have to hold tightly to it. Receiving the experience of the humanness of this body, of this mind. an opening to an exploration of mind states and emotions, perhaps in particular around emotions, we may start to recognize a relationship between thoughts and emotions. Sometimes an emotion can generate thoughts. And when we have an experience of frustration, for instance, that experience of frustration, the emotional side of it, can often trigger or lead to a whole bunch of thoughts about how to fix or solve whatever we're frustrated about. And sometimes, you know, an emotion like anxiety, for instance, can trigger a lot of thoughts. And if we never really notice or kind of come back to just landing with, oh, what's happening is there's anxiety, the thoughts will just keep coming. One teacher, Guy Armstrong, says, thoughts come off of emotion like mud comes off a flywheel. It's just that kind of the generating power of emotions to create thoughts. And so that understanding can help us to land back with the experience of the emotion itself in the body, particularly in the body. And then we also might start to see that a thought can generate an emotion. We're sitting with the breath kind of quiet, and a sound happens. Not quite aware that there's a sound, just the mind starts thinking about that sound, maybe does some association, reminding, remembering of something that happened in the past that that sound was connected to. And those thoughts then creating the conditions for it through, perhaps through that memory. I often find that when a memory arises, if there were any emotions connected with that memory, those emotions can come with that memory. And so sometimes the thoughts will lead to an emotion. Kind of just being aware of or curious about this nature, this kind of cycle between thoughts and emotions. We don't have to judge it. We don't have to try to fix it. We're exploring what the nature of our experience is. And learning how to ground with the experience of the body with emotions, very helpful to allow us to be able to see this process at work. Another way that mind states come into play in our meditation, in our lives, not just in our meditation, but in our lives, is that while something's happening, we're engaging with something, perhaps in the meditation, attending to some aspect of our experience, that we may have a relationship with that experience that can often be kind of hidden behind the scenes. We're noticing some kind of unpleasant experience in our body, for instance. And behind the scenes, there's some aversion. Maybe as we gain some skill with meditation, it often happens that we learn how to attend to experience, and then the unpleasantness goes away when we attend to it. And so our very way of paying attention can have the kind of, if I attend to this properly, or I'm going to watch this so that it will go away. So there can be attitudes or relationships kind of in the background that are mind states. They are influencing, mind states have a way of influencing our experience and how we respond to experience. And so one of the, let's say, tools or supports in our practice, especially if we feel like there's some kind of struggle in our practice. So you're noticing something, paying attention to something, and it feels like it's hard. You're trying to figure out how to pay attention to it, or not able to really connect with it. Sometimes it's really useful at that point to kind of step back and say, okay, well, this is what's happening. How am I relating to it? What's the relationship to this? We might have, you know, kind of one of four basic flavors of relationship with any experience. We might want it to continue. A flavor of, you know, kind of that leaning towards, liking it, wanting it to keep going. We might want it to end, not liking it, wanting it to stop, kind of an aversion flavor. That first one is kind of the flavor of greed, and a whole host of flavors that can come with that. The second, aversion, and, you know, it could be irritation, frustration, anger, fear, lots of flavors that can come with that in relationship to experience. Third flavor might be kind of a sense of uncertainty or confusion, not knowing, that kind of a flavor. And a related flavor can be this is a much more subtle kind of mind state, more of a view of what's supposed to be or not supposed to be there, what's supposed to be happening or not supposed to be happening, and a view, an idea. We often might think of an idea as a thought, but a view can get more established than a thought. It's not like we have to be actively thinking of you. It's just like, this is how we see the world. And it doesn't necessarily have an emotional tone. It's like, it's supposed to be like this. That's the way it's supposed to be. And it's though some of those views are so deeply embedded in our conditioning that we're not, it's not that we're thinking about it, it's just that that's how we are interpreting the world. So this is a flavor of delusion. So three basic flavors of relationship to experience: the flavor of greed, the flavor of aversion, the flavor of delusion. The fourth flavor of relationship that can be happening is a flavor of allowing, acceptance, connection, care, love. Sometimes, and that's probably not going to be happening when there's this sense of struggle, but sometimes it's also useful in our practice. If it feels like it's going really well, also check in. You know, how am I in relationship to this experience? It feels like it's going really well. There can be some greed there. Absolutely. And it's like, oh yeah, I'm doing really good. This is how it's supposed to be. Kind of that, those background thoughts. And it's not that we have to stop them, but again, to just open to recognize, oh, this is what's going on in the mind. These relationships to experience are often hidden behind the scenes. So in a way, this is a kind of a broadening to find or to notice. I wouldn't say find, but more to notice or recognize things that might not have been seen, not have been obvious to us. So when it's, if it feels like it's going well, just like, yes, this is, there's a kind of a sense of smoothness or ease with presence. What else is happening? What's the relationship to it being easy? What's happening in the mind? Sometimes there can be, at that point, we can start to see some of the subtler kinds of mind states that are connected with the settling of the mind. Calm, ease, spaciousness, qualities of the mind. Spaciousness is a quality of the mind. And so the kind of checking the attitude when it feels like it's going well may start to help us to see some of these beautiful qualities that are a little less obvious. You know, ease, peace, pretty subtle. Non-reactivity is not screaming at us. It's not telling us, look at me, because the mind is letting go of the kind of more obvious reactions. And so opening to, kind of curious about when it feels smooth. Well, what else is here? It might feel at first like nothing is happening. I've heard that a lot. No, well, there isn't any emotion there. It may be that it's more of a quieter state of mind, like calm. That Michelle McDonald had this saying that we need to acquire a taste for some of those subtler states of mind that we're not familiar with being with them, with recognizing them. And so this kind of exploration of checking into the relationship to experience, or it can be, you know, just kind of that question, you know, how am I with this experience? So there's what's happening and how am I? How am I? Often we're not so conscious of how we are. It's just how we're seeing the world. But this practice can step us back to actually help us to notice that relationship as well. So there's some announcements. So just a reminder about using notes to connect with the managers in particular. Our service leaders, both the managers and the cooks, are on retreat here as well. And, you know, if it is an emergency, of course, come and find any of us if it's an emergency. But often, you know, it's not an emergency, and a note that can be responded to in an hour or so, a couple of hours, it's fine. And so if you're finding yourself, be aware if you find yourself approaching a manager to speak to them, maybe step back and ask, is this an emergency? Can I put a note on the board instead? And then I think because we're more spread out, we have used most of the sitting equipment, and some people have been wanting to switch out their sitting equipment for others, and they can't do it now. So if you have explored and know what you use, and you're not using particular equipment, please put it back on the shelves. And, you know, it might be that if everybody just puts back what they aren't using at the moment, that there will be plenty there for you to take when you want to add something to it. But if everybody's hoarding, then it gets to be that we create that kind of a scenario where then there's not a way to shift your sitting stuff. So return any unused sitting things. And then the these brown zabutons, these mats, we'd like for those to stay indoors. If you'd like to take the outdoor mat outdoor, which I know many of you are sitting on the forest deck, those black mats in the Yogi Needs closet, those are the ones to take outdoors. And these window benches, both of these window benches are reserved, are kind of not reservable. So to not leave your stuff on those window benches, but to leave them so that people can do, in particular, lying meditation there at times. It's pretty much one of the only spaces we can do lying meditation in the hall. And I would also say, my spot there, I don't use it in the morning because I'm doing the practice discussions. I mean, I use it so between 9:30 and noon. That's available. You're welcome to use that as well. And then this evening, we will have the service leader tea. That's a meeting that we have with the teachers and those serving the retreat, those serving this retreat, not people who have been service leaders on any retreat. So just the service leaders for this retreat, the cooks and the managers, will meet at the treehouse at 6 o'clock this evening. Any other announcements? Okay. So...